Welcome to the Business Credit and Financing Show. Each week, we talk about the growth strategies that matter most to entrepreneurs. Listen in as we discuss the secrets to getting credit and money to start and grow your business. And enjoy as we talk with seasoned business owners, coaches, and industry leaders on a variety of topics from advertising and marketing to the nuts and bolts of running a highly successful business. And now, to introduce the host of our show, financial expert and award-winning author, Ty Crandall.
Hello and welcome to our show today. I'm really glad you could join us. So today we're talking about conversations. We're really talking about elevating your sales through conversations on demand. But it really has to do with, you know, training your sales team, training you, the things that you should be doing, how you should be selling, what should be happening in all types of conversations. I mean, this is probably one of the most fundamental skills you have to have as an entrepreneur, whether you are the one having the conversation, selling, which you oftentimes are, or whether you have a team under you, you have to understand these fundamentals. If you do, it is the key to the city, per se. It is the key to success. If you don't, well, it's a pretty big, long hill, uphill battle. So with us today is Chris Beal. Now, for the most of the past 30 years, Chris has participated in software startups as a founder or at a very early stage of development. His focus has consistently been on creating and taking to market simple products that can be used successfully the first time they are touched without having to take a course or read a manual, kind of like Apple does. His belief is that most powerful part of any software system is the human being that we inappropriately call a user, and that the value key in a software is to let the computer do what it does well, go fast without getting bored, in order to free up human potential. Now, toward the end, Chris has been involved with Requisite Technology, GXS, Epinance, Clip Media, Aptara, most of which of these, I'm completely messing up the name, I'm sure, Acadis, Sun Microsystems, and Unison. He's currently CEO of Connect and Sell Inc. based in Silicon Valley. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Ty, great to be here. I sound plenty old.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I mean, I can tell you that I, first of all, completely apologize for messing up your bio, but I don't think you sound or look old. I think you are very young based on this.
Well, thanks. I tell you, you know, I think the key to staying young actually is just to stay engaged and keep the body moving. So for all you old people who are listening or young people who want to stay that way, yeah, go for about 20,000 steps a day, keep moving, and you might have a shot.
That's good advice. I love that. I miss my Fitbit. I used to wear the thing all the time, and I stopped because they stopped like the little waist one they didn't wear. They always had the watch ones, but that's good advice. Always would shoot 20,000. It's not easy to hit that. You know that.
No, 20,000 is, you know, I came down to Arizona recently. Let me adjust this a little. Came down to Arizona to spend a little time in the sun. Actually, we liked it so much, we're buying a house down here. And I noticed that just having the longer days, I went from, you know, 13,000 steps a day up into the 20s. I was over 20,000 steps a day every day last week. And I think it's a real key. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to go in for the marathon, the long run, you got to keep the body going or else the mind will, and the mouth won't keep up.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mind, body, and soul, very important to being able to lead an organization, especially the bigger an organization gets. You know, I love what you do, and you have a lot of specialty in a lot of different areas, especially with software, but also with selling. And, you know, one of the things that you do a lot of or seem to touch upon is cold calling. So that makes me wonder, is cold calling still a thing, or is this alive and well? Because I notice it's harder to get in touch with people now than it ever has been before.
Yeah, there's sort of two elements to it. One is, how hard is it to get somebody on the phone? And it's really not how hard it is, just how much you have to work. It's not hard. I mean, dialing a phone is not hard. Navigating a phone system is not hard. Going to voicemail and hanging up on it, if you're smart, isn't hard. But they take time. And the ratios right now run about 23.5 to 1. That is, you'll attempt about 23.5 dials with navigation around them of some sort before you get one conversation with the decision maker.
Wow.
So that's pretty time consuming. If you figure that most salespeople might maybe have a stretch goal of 50 dials a day, that means you get to talk to about two people. And the question is, can you make your business work on two conversations a day? The answer is probably no, unless you're, you know, just incredible. But the problem is, if you don't have conversations, then what? So then the flip of it isn't how hard they are to get a hold of. It's what do you do when you get a conversation with somebody? It turns out that the most advantageous first opening position in a relationship, this sounds very odd, but it's absolutely the case, is to ambush somebody. And the reason is when you ambush somebody in a cold call, you have them in a known mental state and a known emotional state. They're afraid of you. They don't say they're afraid of you, by the way. They might act annoyed, but they definitely all want the same thing. And I was once taught in a literature writing course once, the key to a great story is it starts with somebody wanting something. Well, the story of a cold call starts with somebody wanting something. It's not what you want as the cold caller. It's what the other person wants. It's what the prospect wants. They want to get off that call and they want to keep their self-image intact. And those are conflicting purposes. And you can work that conflict, so to speak, in order to build trust with that person reliably in about 7 seconds, just about 100% of the time. So if you really think about in business to business what your problem is, your problem isn't getting your value proposition in front of people. Everybody's got a value proposition. Those things flow around the internet like water at this point. So they're on LinkedIn, they're here, they're there. Everywhere you go, somebody's saying, I've got this great value proposition. I got this reason you should be doing business with me. Well, but why aren't you doing business with them? The answer is you don't trust them, because you're trusting in B2B, you're trusting somebody with your career. When you're a buyer and you're making a decision for your company, you're not making a decision about your money. So at Connect and Sell, say I decided, you know, we need a company car and I really like Tesla. So I'm going to go buy a company Tesla. Well, first of all, it's stupid to have a company car, but say we thought that was a great idea. So now I'm kind of on the hook, even as a CEO. If I screw up and I get a company car that people hate, that dangerous, that is uneconomical, that doesn't work in the environments we find ourselves in, whatever it is, I've actually hurt my reputation with my employees. And that's from the advantaged position of being a CEO. I can still screw up my career by making a bad buy. Whereas a consumer, if I buy that Tesla and I realize I'm allergic to the idea of electricity and I got to dump it 2 weeks later, I'm out a little money, whatever the difference is between what I buy it for and what I sell it for. But my reputation, my job reputation, on which everything else depends, is unharmed. So the B2B buyer is super cautious by their very nature, and they've got to trust you, the seller, more than they trust themselves with regard to this purchase, because you're the expert. So they got to trust the expert. It'd be stupid to trust a non-expert, oneself, more than the expert. So they're in a quandary. And the only way that that quandary ever gets resolved is through personal trust. And so if you can establish trust reliably very early in the relationship, then you can build on that and get to value. So, you know, my view is pretty simple, and I have been doing this a long time. I've been building companies from scratch or close to it for really just about 40 years now that I think about it. And, you know, I build the products, I think up the products sometimes, not this one, by the way, Connect and Sell's not my idea. I'm not smart enough to come up with something this cool. But what I've learned is the number one thing that you want to do is get everybody who counts in the market to trust you before they listen to your competitors. So the biggest mistake you can make in sales is to hyper-target and then only talk to those people who are buying now, which is about 1/12 of your market. As if the cycle time for considering a product of your particular category is about 3 years, that is, if they just bought one, it's going to be 3 years before they buy another, which is pretty typical. That's 12 quarters. So out of those 12 quarters, how many of those quarters are this quarter? Just one. So 1/12 of your market, of your perfect market, is in market right now. So if that's all you focus on, you leave 11/12 of your market to be taken by somebody else who's got a little bit more foresight and a little bit more patience. So if you don't want to be killed in the market and be a flame out, you actually need to talk to your whole market and have trust building conversations before your competitors talk to anybody. And that's what we do at Connect and Sell. That's our job, is to let you have those 30 conversations a day. Or maybe it's still only two, but you have them in 10 minutes instead of 2 hours or 3 hours, leaving time for something else. Not so you can sell to them, not even so you can get meetings, which is what people think you can do, but so you can execute a sort of build trust, manufacture trust at pace and scale across a market and then harvest it at your leisure.
So is that really how you effectively use cold calling to build trust, is not by selling, but really just having conversations?
Yeah, and having a very special kind of conversation. You need to help somebody go on a little emotional journey from fear. They're afraid of you as the invisible stranger who just ambushed them, to trust by showing them that you see the world through their eyes and by demonstrating to them you can solve a problem they have right now. You're competent to solve a problem they have right now. Now, what problem do you have right now if I cold call you? Pretty simple. Me. I'm the problem. Right? Well, I can solve that problem. Nothing to it. I can go away. But that's not a great solution. How about if we make a little deal about me going away? You let me tell you why I call, I go away. You'll trust me. So we actually teach people as part of what we do. We're a machine primarily, a machine that has human beings inside navigating phone calls. That's what Connected Cell literally physically is, right? But it's of no value if you don't have great conversations that build trust. So we also teach how to go from being the invisible stranger who just ambushed somebody. Very reliable position to start from. Sounds bad. Reps don't like it. Oh, I don't want to be the bad person. Well, guess what? You just called somebody out of the blue and you did it for your own purposes. So, you know, they might be justified in thinking that you're the problem. If you take advantage of that and say, I know I'm an interruption. Can I have 27 seconds to tell you why I called? And you go from that hard, flat, throwing yourself under the bus voice, because they're throwing you under the bus already. So you may as well do it yourself before they can get it done. And then you flip over to a playful, curious voice that says, come along with me and we'll take care of this situation. Situation is I ambushed you. Let's take care of this. Come on, let's have some fun with it. And most people will stay on. They'll chuckle. Sure, go ahead. Give me 27. And then you have a chance to actually get them to be curious. And the way you do that is kind of subtle. And all the usual, hey, how are you? What's going on? How's it going? All that stuff doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is it's not consistent with what you just did, ambush somebody. Like, do you really ambush people to ask them how they are? That's not a value add to them, right?
Right.
But it is value add to them to let them become curious about learning something. That is value add. 100% of the time, you're adding value. But people need to be helped in being curious. They're not, you just ambushed them. Not a curious mood right there. So how do you get them from the mood they're in when you ambush them, which is, oh man, I wish I hadn't answered that, to the mood you want them to be in. And frankly, they would want to be in if only they knew the value, what they're going to learn in a meeting with you. If they knew that, and you knew that they don't know it, right? You'd feel an obligation to kind of insist they take that meeting. It's going to be good. They're going to learn something. You're not going to force anything down their throat. They're going to learn something. And so if you have that belief, which is you have to have it in the potential value of the meeting that you're offering, then the conversation has a purpose, which is to help somebody get curious enough to make a commitment to attend a meeting. And cold calling not only is not dead, it is the only known mechanism for building trust at pace and scale. Email doesn't do it. I can send you 10,000 emails and you're not going to trust me as a result of that. And in a 7-second conversation, you will.
So, Chris, how do you really go about creating the curiosity? Because I think we live in a world now where it's kind of like a lot of people think that you need to provide value and give something in order to ask for something in return. But in this case, we're going in cold and we're flat out asking for something, which let's admit is the most important thing they have, which is their time. And so then they give us the time because we're a little bit joking around, which makes sense. But then we've got to create curiosity to get them wanting more. So how do we get them from that mode of maybe being frustrated that we caught them and ambushed them to being to a point where they are really curious and they want to take a next step?
Well, to get to a lot of curiosity, it's just like trust, right? To get to a lot of trust, you got to start with a little and then don't blow it. To get to a lot of curiosity, you have to start with a little and then amplify it, but only enough to get that curiosity to turn into that tiny amount of commitment it takes to agree to a meeting. Because that's the real product here is the meeting. The universal product of B2B is a meeting. You have to start with the meeting before you can go on and talk about their problems, right? And the reason for that is they got to come to you. I'll go back to something you and I were talking about before we got on. I was raised out in the desert and we had 6 horses and 2 goats and God knows what else, you know, 16 dogs at one point. And so I had to learn as a small child, how do you get a horse to let you put a bridle on it? A horse is big. I'm little. Horse is fast. I'm slow. Horse can kick. I saw a hoof print once in the middle of my sister's chest that didn't look any too good and took quite a while to heal from. So I had that emblazoned in my head. I think I was probably 5 when I first saw that. And it's like, holy moly, how do you do that? Well, you get the horse curious. What do you get it curious about? Oh, you just hold your hands out like this and palms down. You have something in each hand. It's actually the same thing in each hand, a little carrot or a little sugar cube or whatever. And the horse has to make a choice. So it makes a choice, picks one hand.
And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Ty Crandall with Credit Suite. Many of our subscribers are looking to get business credit that's linked to their business EIN number and not linked to their personal Social Security number. If you're looking to get no-doc, high-limit business credit cards that report to the commercial credit reporting agencies and get approved without a personal guarantee and without a personal credit check, give us a call today. 877-600-2487, or you can schedule time online at creditsuite.com/consult.
Or the other, doesn't make any difference. You know, you've got a curious horse, its head is down. Now you can gently make a move to get a bridle over its ears and get the bit in its mouth. So how do we do it with a human being? It's very similar. We want to start with a little bit of curiosity, and it's got to be about something universal. So human beings are universally curious about other human beings. There's a whole industry around it. There's paparazzi, there's People magazine. I mean, there are even people in the United States of America. I know you will find this hard to believe because you're from Indiana, but there are people in the United States of America who follow religiously the comings and goings of the British royal family, which has no impact whatsoever on their lives because they're curious. These people dress differently. They have you know, an interesting history. They say funny things and everybody else seems to be interested in them. So I'll be interested in them. So we can say something really simple that allows somebody's curiosity about who to blossom a little. And then we can also talk about something that's novel. And the most novel thing in the world is a discovery. So if we say something like this, hey, thanks, Ty. Ty, I believe we've discovered a breakthrough that completely eliminates, and then you say some bad thing you eliminate. That not you eliminate, actually the breakthrough does. Little hero in a hero's journey. So why would you say, I believe? It's actually kind of a surprising thing to say, said like that. Not, I believe, like, I believe it's going to snow today, but I believe like a missionary. I believe we've discovered a breakthrough. Now, we is ambiguous. Who's we? Well, you're curious. You don't know who we is, right? I didn't say, well, Ty, I'm with Connect and Sell, the company that does X, Y, and Z for companies like A, B, and C in order to provide value, you know, whatever. I didn't say all of that. I left all that out. I just said we. I believe we've discovered a breakthrough. We've discovered something. That's something to be curious about. Whereas we tell salespeople, tell them how great you are. Tell them how your company's done great things for others. Well, you know what you get? It's like, remember third grade, fourth grade, when somebody would say, my daddy's stronger than your daddy on the playground. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What does the other kid say? No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Pushing and punching maybe ensue, right? We want to avoid that conversation, which is buried inside everybody. It's called psychological reactance. If you say you're great, I'm going to push back. So how do you say you have something that's interesting without saying you're great? The word that works perfectly is discovered. People like people who are lucky. They don't like people who are great and who say they're great. That's why Muhammad Ali was such a remarkable public persona. He could get away with saying, I am the greatest. It was said without irony and with irony at the same time. The irony was about the fact that he could say it. The without irony was the fact that he believed it and kept going and proving it in the ring. But the fact is, people didn't love him because he won the fights in the ring. They loved him because he'd bring out this very human question about, is it okay to say I'm the greatest? And then we all kind of wondered ourselves, like, is that okay? I mean, this guy's doing it. That's pretty wild, right? So we're not quite in that position, but we got to avoid saying we're the greatest. At this point, we don't know anybody that well. We haven't won any fights. We haven't done anything, right? I believe we've discovered a breakthrough. Said just like that. And that breakthrough is a very interesting word. Everybody's looking for breakthroughs because everybody knows that incremental advances are nice, but breakthroughs create victories. So why wouldn't I want one? So now I have an ambiguous breakthrough, I have an ambiguous we, and I have a discovery. And then all I have to say is something about the breakthrough. Well, the breakthrough is a hero. It's going to go slay a dragon. Heroes go and slay dragons, right? And they bring back the gold. That's the other kind of story, right? Somebody wants something And that somebody is the hero. And the hero is going to go on this journey, and the journey is going to be a lot of bad things. And finally, they're going to slay the dragon or its equivalent, and they're going to come back, but they have to go through some crisis upon returning back to their home. That's kind of the hero's journey story. So here you have an opportunity now in a few words to tell a story about what this breakthrough does. So how about this? I believe we've discovered a breakthrough that turns your sales reps into the top 5% of all cold callers in the world in competence and confidence, and they'll love it. And the reason I reached out to you is to get 15 minutes on your calendar to share this breakthrough with you. Do you happen to have your calendar available? Now, if I say that, you're a little stuck, right? I didn't say what business I'm in. I didn't say how we accomplished this magical thing, how the breakthrough went about the process of transforming sales reps into the top 5% of the world of cold callers. That sounds unlikely. And how are they going to do it? Well, they're going to become competent and confident, and they're going to love it. That doesn't sound right at all. Why would they love it? Nobody loves cold calling. And you just said it as though it happens every day. It's a breakthrough that does this. So it's okay because it's a breakthrough. If it were like something everybody knew about, that'd be no big deal, but it's a breakthrough. So a breakthrough could do this, right? It's like, I've discovered a ball that bounces, when you drop it, bounces higher than where you dropped it from. Well, you'd at least want to see it. You might not believe it, but you're going to want to check it out. It's like, really? So that's what you're looking for, is that like, really? And what they're going to do is say, well, Chris, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Tell me more. And if you tell them more, you're screwed because you've basically thrown away the curiosity, right? You've given it away. So you say something like, oh, Ty, you know, we've learned the hard way that an ambush conversation like this isn't a fair setting to talk about something this important. Are you a morning person? How's your Wednesday? So that style of cold call will not always yield a meeting, but where there's resonance with potential value, there's just enough there to get somebody curious, and you insist on the meeting because you know it's good for them, and you get a lot of meetings. You also get a lot of people that you can talk to next quarter and the next quarter and the next quarter, because the timing is really right. Eventually it is right. Isn't it better if they buy from you than the other guy? So that's how cold calling works. Real modern cold calling.
A ton of sense. Yeah. I mean, I never heard that kind of approach before either, but one of the fundamental problems you said is, you know, you only get in touch with two people, and then you talked about getting 30 calls. So you're incorporating technology, and that's really your specialty. How are you doing that? What's happening to help make it easier to reach more people faster? Because it seems like that's a huge barrier that's got to be broken down for this to work.
It's got to be. I mean, I wouldn't be talking about any of this stuff if I weren't, you know, at a company that provides a solution to that. Otherwise, it'd be like, here's a great thing you can do in a conversation. And by the way, you can have two of them a day. It's like, it'd still be better than zero, but let's face it, it's hard to be great if you get to do something twice a day, if you get to do it 30 or 40 times a day, or even just take little moments that you have, you know, say you're a full cycle sales rep and you only have 20 minutes here and 30 minutes there, it'd still be great to have five or six conversations. I mean, if you're good enough. So we have this thing called Connect and Sell. And what it does is lets you essentially do two things. One is load a list of folks you want to talk to. So it lets you target. That's easy. Any sort of dialer could do that. But then it lets you push a button whenever you want to talk to somebody. And it goes to work in the background, dialing phone numbers. It has human beings who navigate phone systems for you, but never, ever, ever talk to your target. And you just sit back and relax, pet the dog, or work your email. That'd be a good idea. Go work your social, maybe listen to a podcast. But when a target, somebody on your list, answers the phone, the Connect and Sell system, including the people in it who are making it go, so the person responsible for that dial, cause that conversation to pop into your ear. You're already on the phone, so you have a headset on probably, and it'll go bloop. And it pops up on the screen. So say I were on your list, you'd push the button, you go about doing whatever you're going to do, pops up on the screen, and there's a tone in your ear. It says, Chris Beal, CEO, Connect and Sell. If we've spoken before, you'd have a little script. Hey, Chris, we talked back on January 26th. You said that you had to go out and watch the snowflakes fall, and you didn't have time for conversation. Is now a better time? Or it could be a cold call, and you're going to open with, you know, Ty here, from, and then you're going to go on from there. Whatever it is, to me, the guy receiving the call, it's a perfectly normal phone call. For you, you just went from 1 hour of dialing and navigating phone systems to go to voicemail over and over to a few minutes of waiting. I'm looking, not sharing my screen, but I'm looking up my team right now, who of course use our product. So here's a guy, Steve Cooperman. Today, he's used our system for 3 hours, 14 minutes, and 24 seconds. He's a top of funnel kind of guy. During that time, he's had 30 conversations. He set 2 meetings. He's also set 15 follow-up conversations, future opportunities to talk to somebody not on their calendar. And when he's pushed the button asking for a conversation, he's waited for about 3 minutes and 54 seconds today on average. And when he's talked to somebody, it's had a 48-second conversation. Here's what he didn't do. He didn't dial the phone and navigate phone systems and talk to gatekeepers and hang up on voicemail 612 times. That'd be, I don't know, 2 full weeks, I think, of dialing for most reps. So that all happened in 3 hours and 14 minutes and 24 seconds. He's happy. I told you it makes him happy. He's also competent and confident.
It's fantastic. I mean, it sounds, and it tracks everything. It tracks how many calls they're making, how many appointments. So is all that tracking like one CRM type system?
Yeah, it not only tracks it all, but it makes it happen. So it does it for you. You do nothing. You just hit the button. So Cooperman has talked to all those people today. Physically, the only work he's done is to click this button 30 times over a 3 hour period. So his fingers aren't worn to the bone. He's not like got bleeding stumps or something like that. He has got to keep himself ready to talk. So he's an expert at having conversations. And it's not just a top of funnel guy like that. I can look down into my full cycle sales reps. So here's a guy named John Jackson. And John today has only found 13 minutes to use Connect and Sell. 13 minutes. Now, John is a mature guy. So I'm 66. So, you know, he's got a decade or more on me. And he's had 3 conversations today with decision makers. And he hasn't set a meeting yet, but he had those 3 conversations. And those 47 dials would have cost him a whole day. So he didn't do them. They were done for him in 13 minutes. John T. McLaren, our Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing, he's found somehow today 32 minutes and 30 seconds to use the system, had 3 conversations. John T.'s a bit of a head shooter. You know, he gets you in his sights, you're going to have a meeting. And sure enough, 3 meetings out of 3 conversations. He believes. You talk to John T., you're going to take the meeting.
This is really interesting. And it's got me thinking too about all the time that our reps spend on the phone. For everybody that wants to learn more, where should they go? What action should they take to be able to learn more about effectively selling cold or selling, you know, through conversations? And also as well as incorporating technology to do it more efficiently.
Yeah, so they can go to connectandsell.com, connect and sell, all one word, and ask for, it says for a demo, it's not a demo at all. What we do is a free intensive test drive. It's a full day of production for the whole team. So over at Sada Systems, Tony Safoyan on his podcast once said they made tens of millions of pipeline during the free test drive. So test drive is mind-blowing. It's fast, it's furious, it's fun, works great with remote teams. And that's really the way to learn more. Learn from experience. I can talk all day long, but you know, my experience is my experience. Yours will be yours. And so we provide these free test drives. We'll do probably 750 of them this year. And that's the best way to kind of experience the technology, to experience the speed. It is 10x. It's not, I say it's like driving a Ferrari, but a Ferrari doesn't go 700 miles an hour. You know, it'd be like if you had one that went 700 miles an hour. We offer a thing called Flight School. It's 4 sessions of Blitz and Coach. It's so specific and precise that the first 2 hour session, we only focus on coaching the first 7 seconds of the conversation. But during that time, you're making money. So it's training that makes money and doesn't cost money. So that's kind of interesting. And then you can go to my podcast, marketdominanceguys.com, all one word, Market Dominance Guys. Corey Frank interviews me. I think we're on episode 67 or something like that. And we'll do one or two this afternoon. It's a cookbook on how to dominate markets by using conversations. And yeah, it does assume you can have more than 2 a day.
Chris, I really appreciate you coming on with today. This has been enlightening. Like I said, it's got my wheels turning. I'm going to look more back into your integrations and technology and see what this could do for our organization. Thanks again, man, for coming on. This was very enlightening.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Ty.
So listen, if you're watching this, more than likely you want to increase your sales this year. You want to make more money. And what's interesting is that Chris just outlined a lot of different things that I think are very important. First of all, a way to actually go in cold, the exact techniques and tactics to use to be able to get somebody to want to be on that call, interested, intrigued, and then actually take a next step. And he even gave an example of, you know, one of his VP of sales, 30 minutes total time. And, you know, he's already got 3 appointments booked of 3 calls. So you can already tell the strategy he's talking about works, but most importantly, it's about actually getting through. And this is a huge problem a lot of us have nowadays because these cell phone carriers, et cetera, are making it harder to get people on the phone. So the harder it is to get somebody on the phone, the more time you're manually dialing or your team is manually dialing to do so. This technology fixes that, period, point blank. It just fixes that. And it makes it so much easier to actually reach a large volume of people, which means more leads, which means more sales, which means dramatic increase to revenue. So take a next step doing 2 things. Go to connectandsell.com. A lot of great information, case studies, all the information you need to see if this works for you, and learn more about this kind of selling and the technology that makes it easier. And make sure you check out marketdominanceguys.com as well. marketdominanceguys.com. That'll get you right to the podcast where there's a ton of other information that can effectively help you sell. Like if you can sell efficiently and effectively, then who knows? There's no ceiling to what you can accomplish this year in revenue growth and profit. So make sure you visit connectandsell.com and marketdominanceguys.com to learn more and be able to come in and elevate your sales through conversations on demand using cold calling, even warm calling, as well as technology to make it happen. So make sure you visit connectandsell.com. Thanks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Business Credit and Financing Show with your host, Ty Crandall. Watch for our next episode to get even more insight on financing and growing your business. And don't forget to check us out online at creditsuite.com for even more business growth strategies.